Look, I'm fully aware of how much COVID has messed with our lives this past year. Many of us, for the first time in our lives, have felt trapped, stuck, or even helpless. Now imagine that not just being a year, but a life or a generation of being stuck. That's what happens to kids caught in the cycle of poverty. They are truly stuck. But there is good news. This doesn't have to be their story.
And that's where you come in. I'm sure you didn't wake up this morning thinking, I'm going to be a hero today, but you can. For $38 a month, just about a dollar a day, you can make sure a child living in poverty gets the things they need not only to survive, but to thrive.
You provide your sponsored child food, a better education, clean water, and medical treatment. And here's what I love about partnering with Food for the Hungry. Your gift also helps other kids in the community. So you're not just helping one child, but you're also helping their friends a little as well, because FH wants to build up the entire community.
The other really important part is you get to write to your child and encourage them. This is your faith in action, and your support and the words you share with them will carry and inspire them to accomplish more than they even dreamed possible for themselves.
With everything going on, I know it's easy just to take care of ourselves and put this off till tomorrow, but kids living in poverty, tomorrow feels like an eternity. Plus, I'm telling you that sponsoring one of our Food for the Hungry kids will not only help them, but it will also change you. There is such joy in helping innocent kids who didn't ask for or do anything to deserve this. And we've been blessed with so much in our lives. It's a blessing to be able to sponsor these amazing kids.
It only takes a minute and costs you nothing to see if this is even for you. So check it out, fh.org/Wally Show. Again, that's fh.org/Wally Show. You can also follow FH on Instagram and Twitter.
Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All that stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today. I have a couple car-related things, actually, that one of them, Betty Rock, you had brought up earlier, and I did a little digging into it because I was really curious about it. Mm-hmm. They're saying that Ford, I believe it is going to do something new in some of their cars, or at least they filed a patent for this new technology that will put ads on your dashboard. Like, the whole idea of decluttering our cars and don't touch any other technology that you don't absolutely have to touch to keep you safer while you're driving, this seems to fly in the face of that. But apparently the way it works is, as you drive by billboards, the cameras in your car will be trying to read the billboard, and then it puts that billboard's message up on your dashboard, which seems like a lot.
Still distracting,
yes.
Too.
I'm thinking it's probably looking like, you know how some people have, it looks like a TV, but...
the screen in the middle of your car.
Yeah, so maybe it wouldn't be like it take up the whole screen. Maybe it'd be like a little banner or something.
But like, say I have my phone plugged through there, so it's displaying like my phone information for maps or for, you know, music that I'm listening to. And then all of a sudden an ad pops up. I'm going to be really upset by that. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm already advertised to and marketed to so much. And so that would bother me. And I was like, why would they do this? It just seems counterintuitive. And they said they would claim to solve the problem of people seeing a billboard too late and not getting all the details, like, McDonald's, this exit, you know, so that then you would be able to, it would be like a service for you so that you are able to get off the highway safely in time and not miss your exit and stuff. I just don't see it.
Personally, I don't really see the point of having something like this in mm-hmm. your car, because there are already apps.
Right.
You can use, you know, but then again, well, and I say all that, and then I think, well, you're hands-free this way.
Well, I don't like it when my Waze puts ads in, you know, like Waze mm-hmm. will do that now. As you're driving,
Waze,
it throws an ad in. If you pass like a Big Lots and stuff like that, you'll see an ad pop up. And like, oh, come on. And the thing they said in this is, they're like, oh yeah, it would be an ad thing in your car, or you could pay to not see the ads. Now you're holding me hostage, you know, in essence. Like that mm-hmm. I don't like at all. I should be able to just turn that technology off because I don't want it in my car distracting me. I could see them having lawsuits over that for sure. Like, this is distracting.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait till we get more heads-up displays like fighter pilots have. They're called a HUD. And so the fighter pilot is looking straight through the glass of the car, but he has this, another glass like that looks like a field goal, you know, basically that they're looking through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got all their information that's really pertinent to what they're doing and how they're flying. And but it's like translucent. So you're kind of seeing it, but you're seeing through it. You can still see what's going on around you.
Oh.
And I know they've done that where your speedometer can be broadcast up to your screen.
Cool.
And so you see like a number of your speed at eye level.
That'd be helpful.
Yeah, I think that there's like some cool things like that.
I used to know someone. Who was that? It seems like it might have been my friend in high school. That she had an old car, but it had like a function where it was digital, the speedometer, but it had like a mirror or something that it could replicate, like,
and shoots it up,
shoot it into the windshield.
Uh-huh.
That was really cool.
Yeah. So that's what they used to do that, you know, limitedly. But then to do a full heads up display where your dashboard is in front of you, so it looks like all the sci-fi movies and stuff. Where you know, the greatest thing will be eventually sweeping in the air to move things.
Oh,
like
yeah,
you see. That'd be awesome.
Well, then we won't be driving by then.
I hope not.
Oh, cars will be driving us.
Speaking of that. Not driving. Tesla is, you know, they're the company that does the autopilot mode for cars. Well, they've been in the news lately for all the wrong reasons. First, you had that the picture of that knucklehead sitting in the back seat while his Tesla was driving.
That's so good.
To prove that he had an autonomous driving car. And that dude actually got arrested. But then there's been a series of accidents. And now a Tesla on autopilot was involved in another crash. And this time it crashed into a police car.
Oh, geez.
So that's a bad day, but it does save you time calling the cops. Like, they're already there.
True.
Apparently, this cop was blocking part of the road, but had his lights on because there was another accident he was dealing with. And the Tesla driver claimed that he had the vehicle in autopilot mode and just assumed that the vehicle would slow down or move over on its own, but it didn't. And he like totally sideswiped this cop car. And yeah, we're not there yet. I want us to be there so badly. But then I don't know like how much I could give up control.
Yeah, it would take like so many years of
keeping your hands
off the wheel,
yeah.
No accidents, to be like this is normal, because it's going to take so long to get to that being normal.
I think I could sit in the front seat of a car that I did trust, like on the highway for sure, and like leave my hands off the wheel where if it's not like super crowded and let it do its thing. Over time, if I had seen it work in town, I don't think I could do that at all. And then in crazy traffic situations, because I noticed this the other day, COVID is starting to break its grip on society, and people are going back to work, and that means they're driving and they're lunatics. Like, I was on the freeway the other day, and it was insanity, man. I'm doing 85 getting passed by people, like just whoosh, whoosh. I'm like, I look down thinking, I'm like, wow, maybe I'm driving like really slow. I'm doing 85. And so people passing me, and then weaving in and out of traffic and stuff. Mm. It was insane, man.
Yeah.
And I actually, the other day, speaking of insane drivers, I called the cops on a guy driving.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
You called some?
I did.
Oh,
I carled.
How fast were they going?
Yeah, well, like at least 90, 95.
Ooh.
And he was swerving erratically. He almost hit four other cars. He almost hit the median three times.
Oh, hello.
Oh, it was
a hazard.
Yeah, absolutely. This guy was either drunk or texting, and I had finally just had enough of it. Like, he almost hit us, and I finally called the cops, and I'm like, look, I gave him the information. Then he passed me so I could see his license plate, and I was on the fence about doing it, but it was so erratic that had I watched the newspaper the next day or the TV the next day and seen, you know, guy kills family who did nothing wrong because he was texting or whatever, I was like, I would have had like serious guilt over that, not knowing that at least I tried to alert somebody to this lunatic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, things are getting crazy back on the freeways again. So you got to keep your head on a swivel, as my dad used to say, as COVID starts to open back up again. Lady Rock, what do you got?
Discovery Channel, they are bringing a new show. It's called Otter Dynasty. Otter as in the animal that holds hands and floats on water.
Oh, I love them.
Well, it's about three clans of otters that live in Marina Bay in Singapore.
Okay.
There's three different rivals. So there's the Bay City clan.
They're
the royal family of luxury among Singapore's futuristic landscapes.
Okay.
So that's where they live. Then the River Rebels, they're the up-and-comers who live in a fashionable and trendy neighborhood.
Okay.
And then there's the Wildings. They're the young clan. They live in a hard but adventurous life in the mangrove forest where they tough it out against marauding lizards, floods, and choppy seas.
I can tell you this, that Discovery is trying really hard, and I respect their trying. You know, I would have been fine just going, hey, we've got a new documentary on otters that you might want to see. They're really cute.
Or just like endless hours of them looking cute.
Yeah, like
Totally fine.
I'm sold. Like, you don't have to like make up this fake rivalry and backstory for the otters.
You say that.
I do say that.
The irony is, we're both going to get hooked, and we're going to be like, oh, I'm for the Wildings. No, I'm for the River Rebels.
Are you Team Wilding? Yeah. I know. If it's anything like 90 Day Fiancé, yes, I'll get hooked.
Right? there's that.
I watched the tell-all from 90 Day Single Life last night on Discovery Plus. I have Discovery Plus. I'm telling you, do not watch any of the non-aired Discovery Channel shows like that with your kids.
Really?
They don't bleep anything.
Oh.
Like, it was jarring, the amount of language and the vileness of it when they're arguing.
By who?
All of them. Mm. It was Debbie Colt's mom went crazy. You know, and so, like,
she's,
if you haven't seen the show, it's a train wreck of people's lives, dating and stuff. But the thing about it is, I think I was honestly kind of like disappointed in Discovery Channel. It's like, okay, you have this wholesome-ish, you know, network, and then on your internet side, you like make it as completely salacious as possible, and then not bleeping anything. So it was vile, you know? And I'm like, oh yeah, you sign up for Discovery Plus thinking everything's going to be Chip and Joanna Gaines, but it's not even close, you know? And so that's, I think that's the thing where there's, at least on the network, there's some restraint, and online there's zero restraint, and that's kind of a bummer. I think that's a misstep for their brand personally.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird. Like, it was like Howard Stern, shock jock of all shock jocks. He was a guy that I listened to getting into radio. That, you know, I'm like, oh, I want to be like that. I want to be crazy and shock jock. Blah blah blah. But when you're on the radio, even inside of that stuff, there were still boundaries that you could not go outside of because of the FCC, language being one of those. And, you know, there, you always hear about the seven dirty words. Like, so there's, you know, all these words you can't say on the air and stuff. And so there was restraint for Stern, even in the midst of people thinking he's just this crazy guy. But then when he went to Sirius XM, he had none of those restraints.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the language just poured out, blah, 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 blah. And it was like, oh, I can say whatever I want. I can do this now. But then it lost something. There's something about the boundaries and keeping you kind of in check that actually make you more creative, make you, you have to find different language, you know, to express what you want to express. It makes you better at your job.
Well, that's what can be said for Nate Bargatze doing stand-up comedy. He doesn't say anything wrong, and he's funnier than the ones that do.
Oh, yeah.
To me, I think Zach said it, but it, when all a comedian does is just lean on bad language,
right?
It's like, well, then that's not funny. Like, you're being lazy.
Yeah, I get it. Like, I get that some jokes and some people's style, like busting out the swear word, is like the punch and it's the capper. Like, I understand that.
But when it's every other.
Exactly. That's
it, come on.
It's your shtick.
It's just boring.
But then Bargatze, I think, is really good at showing how you can have a punch and a capper and a really great out, or a punchline, if you will, and there's no profanity needed even leading up to it. And there's plenty of places, as he's telling the story, I could see other comedians putting language in there, but you watch how he does it. Like, just a real simple idea, like, or example, is where he's talking about...
oh, no. You're going to butcher it.
No, I'm not going to butcher it, because I'm not going to tell the joke. But basically, he's talking about people who want guns are the same people that will buy illegal tigers. And so he's like, and my tiger just tried to get somebody, and the guy's like, oh, your tiger missed. And he's like, no, my tiger rarely misses. He's behind you, and he is furious. So he chooses the word furious. He could have gone with pissed. He could have gone with something really harsh, but he chose the word furious. And that in and of itself, the way he delivers it, is funny, you know? And it's, again, so sometimes it's that restraint, and then you walk up to a spot, and then you don't take the word that everyone thinks you're going to take, and you make that left turn. That's professional comedy, and that's what makes it better.
Now, I will say, and I know you won't agree with me, but Sinbad does awesome at stand-up.
Sinbad.
And I'm telling you, when I went to go see him live, me and my dad.
How old were you? Were you an adult?
Yeah.
Really? You saw Sinbad as an adult?
He got me tickets from Christmas, I think.
Oh,
for my birthday.
My goodness.
But I remember going.
How many people were there?
A lot. The place was sold out.
No.
Yes, it was.
I'm having a hard time believing this story.
Believe it if you will. Believe it if you won't.
Tell me a Bigfoot story, because I would have easier time believing it.
What I'm saying is that he got up there. Yeah, he got up there, but he had nothing planned. That's where I think.
He
improv?
Yes. Really?
I'm telling you. I've told you this before, and you never believe me. And I've seen him do it a second time, and it was on one of his taped shows. But he goes up there with nothing planned. He just says, hey, if you've got a question, I'll answer it right now.
Right.
And that's all he does. Yeah. And it is so funny because he doesn't know what anyone's going to ask.
Right.
So good.
It is hard to do that kind of comedy for sure. That is a skill set. I've seen his other stand up where he's writing jokes, and it's a little thing I like to call brutal. It's tough. Mm. But there you go. Good on Sinbad. You know, a comedian who you would be surprised is super dirty is Bob Saget. He's the dad, Danny Trainer from Full House, and he was always that squeaky clean guy and from America's Funniest Home Videos, but his stand-up is really wrong.
He's like going through a Miley Cyrus phase.
Yeah, it was really raunchy back in the day. I don't even know if he's doing stand-up anymore, but he was known for actually, I think he probably was trying so hard to not be what the other image of him was. So he was
Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, he was the antithesis of that. You're absolutely right. Like, she's so badly wanted to be seen as an adult, and she took the way she did to do that. But then you have Taylor Swift, who became an adult before everybody's eyes, you know, kind of thing, but did it in a much better fashion and did it a little slower. And, you know, I think she grew up better in the public eye than, like, say, Miley did, for sure. So there you go. Was that our least of these?
Yep.
Wow. That was a trip. That was a little road trip we took there from where we started. I don't even remember where we started.
Otter Dynasty.
Wow. We got into like from otters to a total doctrinal dissertation on comedy. It's pretty amazing. Hmm. Well, with that, Lady Rock, who is still very unimpressed, what do you got for birthdays?
We've got one. It's from Rebecca to herself. Happy birthday, Rebecca. She said, I've been a potty mainly for a few years, nice. And I love the Wally show. Even my family knows about it.
Nice.
The question is, without getting fired, going around the room, what is your favorite and least favorite part of your job and why?
Oh, my favorite part of my job is the actual doing of the job. The minute we get in here and we turn on the mics, that's like my favorite part. Taking calls, and because you never know what's going to happen and you're trying to figure things out and you want it to be funny, or what we do, like when we're doing conversations about different things, you don't fully know what's going to happen. It's improv. So I love that part of it. My least favorite part is meetings. Because they just drive me crazy, because so many of them are longer than they need to be for no reason. Our new boss is actually really good about short meetings.
He's efficient.
Though. Yeah, like that guy moves through a meeting like a champ. But like, so meetings, and I've gotten tired of hate mail. Like, I don't get much of it anymore, which is really nice, but it ruins my day when I get into arguments with people over what I think are dumb issues or non-issues. And so that would definitely be the least favorite part of my job, because I still let it affect me and I still let it bother me. And you'd think after 28 years in this, I wouldn't let it bother me. But here it's worse than other stations. Other stations, like, you're an idiot, you're a jerk. It's like, okay, whatever. And this one is like, you're an idiot, you're a jerk, and you're not a Christian, and I'm telling everyone I know that are Christians to never listen to you again. You're like, geez, that escalated. All because I didn't share your sentiment on something, you know? And so I think that's my least favorite part. So let's go to you next. Betty Rock is the next closest to the elder statement here, statesman here, because you've been here as long as me.
I would say my least favorite part of the job is always having to be knowing what's happening in the news. I don't really care for that.
Oh, sure.
When we take like vacation time, it's so nice to just not know.
I do
and
like
I'll
that
go
too.
See my dad and he'll be like, did you hear what so-and-so said? I'm like, nope, I sure didn't. And I don't care to know. It's just nice to kind of be not in the know with what's going on in the world.
Well, a funny thing about this is, too, and I know this exhausts Betty because we have a TV in here, and so we watch, like, Good Morning America. Like, I like to know what's going on during the show in case something pops up. Like, oh, we need to adjust or do this, or, oh, I'm pulling this news story. I wonder if they're covering it. But, like, the news stories will come on, especially political stuff, drives me nuts. And we don't really talk a lot of politics on the radio show just because it's really divisive. And, again, back to hate mails. Everyone gets mad about everything. But it's like, I will start ranting about something and commenting about something that just sends me over the roof. And Betty and Gavin, neither one of them like controversy or politics, really. And so I'm literally just talking to myself. I'm just ranting at myself.
Yeah, but they're doing exactly what they were designed to do, like news 24/7, and you're falling straight for it.
Right.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Right.
And I think that's what makes me like, oh, here we go again. Because they are trying to breed panic, breed anger,
sure,
fear.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm seeing on that side of the room. And it's like, I don't want to be a part of it anymore.
There's lunacy involved.
I understand. I do.
It's not that I'm buying into their fear. I'm buying into their putting out fear and them trying to control narratives that make me crazy. Don't even get me started on the new tax breaks.
I don't want to.
Yeah, see, but again, like, and the funny thing is, like, I actually like to have these discussions and these debates. Like, I like it, but Betty, like, no, wants no part of that, man.
Which is why I say it's my least favorite.
What's your best part?
My favorite part is the fact
free lunch.
Sure. And the fact that we get out of here by one. Can you imagine getting off at one? There's no one out. Mm-hmm. I get to go to the grocery store and it's only the old people.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And I've still got the whole day.
Yeah, I do like that. I hate getting up in the morning because we get up really early.
I hate that.
No, you don't get used to it. But then by the time you get home, like, it's nice. Now, we still work at home. Like, I still, like, have stuff. I'm going to go home and do a presentation I got to work on for like 2 hours after that. But it's like, yeah, I know. But you're right. Like, but no one else has your schedule. Like, none of your friends are on your schedule, which is weird. Because then they're like, hey, let's go out to dinner. And it's 8:00. You're like, no, I'm going to bed. You know? So that's the give and take of it.
I will say, too, I really enjoy, and I still enjoy support drive. I know that it's one of those things where it's like nobody likes it, but I do. But I like it. I do.
Like, currently?
Yes.
Even though you recently moved into the primary talking thing?
Yes. I'd much rather do that than what I was doing before.
Really?
You've been crushing it.
Thank you.
That surprised me.
But I do like seeing, like, hearing what other people think about the station, how it's impacted them, because then it makes me think, okay, there's a bigger purpose than just coming in and having to look at Wally's face and talk.
That's a gift.
And when we hit our goals, it's a hype room, really.
Oh, like, yeah.
And there's so much fun camaraderie, like, downstairs.
Jason's a good presence in the room.
We've had two good support drives back to back, and so that's really nice. I want you to be here, and I want to ask you if you have the same opinion after one goes really south.
They're never going to go south again, though.
That would be nice. I love your optimism. We're bound for one. You know, it's just life. It's just cyclical. But that's good. I think you're right. Like, I can learn from that, too, in that people sharing their stories is humbling. And them, you know, supporting this thing and keeping it on the air is humbling when they take their hard-earned money to make this thing happen. That is a thing that sometimes you get lost in. You know, the mechanics of what you have to do, kind of thing. And you're right. It's a good thing to always keep in mind. So I'm glad you really like that and enjoy that. It's good. Gavin, best and least.
Best is, my favorite part is going into the other room and taking all the phone calls, just because I do like to hear people's stories, even if I'm trying to hang up on them.
Because
I can't get to everyone.
If you call for a contest or something we're doing or a topic, you're going to get to Gavin first. Gavin screens the phone calls. And so, you know, because we can't.
But keep it short and sweet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you want to get on the air, here's your secret to getting on the air, okay? Keep it really concise and, like, know what we're talking about. Be energetic, you know, because Gavin's looking for, like, I've trained Gavin to, like, look for what I'm looking for, you know. And if people are like, if Gavin picks up the phone and he's like, hey, it's a Wally show, and you're like, hey, are you calling for the contest? I think you're kind of, what are you doing now? Like, no, hang on a second. Like, you're going on hold.
You're going on hold. But I love doing that because I do get to hear people's stories. My least favorite, I think, so it's twofold. You had mentioned the whole...
I thought you were going to say you.
No.
My least favorite is you.
No.
I'm glad you finished.
the part of, like, we Yeah, having to say, oh, we can hang out tonight, but we have to leave by 8 so that I can get to bed at a good time. I do think that I would love to be able to stretch that. And, like, I could, but then I'd come in and not be my best self for the next day. So
you'd come in like Betty came in yesterday. Betty was whooped.
I need to apologize in advance.
I don't know what happened,
but you have said...
She couldn't sleep.
You had said, if you're having an off day, tell us so that we know. So that's what I did.
And you did it right away.
And I don't know what was going on. I just couldn't get my brain to shut off. It just kept... It was like a hamster on a wheel. It just kept going, going, going. And I was playing that game of like... looking at my clock and saying, okay, it's 12:30. If I go now, I'll get like 3.5 hours.
Yeah, that's such a bad night. Even if you have a normal job and you're getting up at 7 when you're up all night is the worst. And so, yeah, I feel for you. But yeah, she came in and she's like, don't anyone mess with me.
Yeah.
I'm just like, forewarned.
All the things that I fake laugh with every day, well, now you're not even going to get a fake laugh. And I'm just that's done. Sad.
And so my first question when she walked in, get some sleep? You good? Everything good? I got some. Oh, God.
She's only going to fake laugh.
I did fine last night. Took a little bit of, what's that?
Ambien?
Melatonin?
Melatonin.
Oh,
that's
did you really?
It. Yeah.
It's good
Ambien
stuff.
Is a prescription.
Valium.
Take anything.
Anesthesia.
Oh, my gosh. Valium will put you to sleep. Oh, my goodness gracious. I had that one time for a procedure. Oh, wow.
We don't want to end on this note.
No, I'm just saying, like, it made me sleepy. Like, it was so good. I don't have the same trouble sleeping. I'm tired a lot, so I do pretty well at falling asleep. But, like, today I woke up at 3 and was wide awake at 3 and was like, oh, no. And then, but that was close enough to when I get up. So it was like, it just kind of was in and out.
It's not
so it
too
was,
bad.
It's not devastating.
Yeah, if it's
we get
1
up at 4
or midnight and you're sitting there and you're like, I'm not going back.
Yeah, those are bad days. But anyway, good to have you back, Rock.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for your Aftercast. And as always, thanks for being a potty.